Hi, hello, and welcome to Youth Updates, a regular drop of info to help keep you in the know when it comes to youth culture.
Welcome back to another month and another Youth Updates. My name is Hannah.
And my name is Beth.
And we're going to be chatting to you like we normally do. We're going to be chatting through three different topics. And
yes,
then
we're
going to wrap it all up with a word of the month. So make sure you stick around till the end and we will get stuck in to our three topics. So why don't you kick us off, Beth?
Yes, I will kick us off. So this is a little bit of a dabble into the pop culture world.
Dabble.
Now, if you are on any form of social media or you listen to the radio, there is probably little way that you have escaped the fact that on the 19th of April, Taylor Swift dropped her new album, The Tortured Poets Department. Now, this album has been long anticipated, and it has broken so many records. It became the most streamed title in a single day, which some people said might be to do with the fact that the album is 31 songs long.
Wowee.
But people have said that even if the album was a normal length, the first 12 songs of the album alone would have still gotten it the record.
And before that, it was held by Beyonce's new album, I think. So she didn't hold on to that record for very long.
No, but yeah, and 8 of the 10 Spotify Global Top 50 songs are from the album currently. And it was released literally, so today when we're recording this, it is a Tuesday. So last Friday when it was released. Since then, it has shifted so many copies that it has outsold the entire rest of the top 40 combined. So Taylor Swift, she's a phenomenon. 31 songs about a broken heart. And the thing is, lots of young people are listening to her. But also, even if you're not, even if you dislike her, you can't really escape her. She's like all over the news. She's all over the charts. She comes up on your social media page. She's everywhere.
I think she just works so quickly as well. Like,
yes.
The speed at which she is like releasing albums. I know that some of them are like the re-records and stuff, but like
yeah.
The speed at which she releases like new material still.
Well, I think it was only last year that she released Midnight, mm-hmm. and then I think it was the year before she released Evermore and Folklore really quickly as mm-hmm. well. But then she's also meant to be releasing a re-record of one of her other albums like this June.
Wow.
So she
works hard
these things
and in the
out.
Middle of that she's doing a global tour.
Yeah.
Where she's singing for like 4 hours every night.
Like,
so she works, I will admit, she has a good work ethic. She works hard.
I think it's so interesting that, yeah, and I think it's another broken heart album, and she's known for doing
classic.
Lots of songs about broken hearts and relationships and things. But yeah, I think chat to your young people. Do they like her? Do they hate her? I think some of our young people I know from our church youth work, some of them are like, yeah, I'm going to the Eras tour, da 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 da. And it's like some of them, when we have like a little group and we're doing craft, they like want to have her on in the background. And then there's others who are like, I am just sick of Taylor Swift. I'm sick of her. She's everywhere.
Yeah, love her or hate her, she's everywhere.
Yeah. And but I think it's kind of one of those things, like, talk to young people. Do they listen to her? Do they watch her? And yeah, I think it's just an interesting one. And, you know, how much do they soak up about relationships? Because bless her soul, she's not the most successful at relationships. And so I think some of her take on things and her reflections on relationships are really interesting.
Yeah, interesting. So yeah, maybe go and give it a listen and see what it's all about. But we'll move on to a second topic, a bit different to the first one, which is about a Barnardo's report, which came out. It's released in February 2024, so pretty recently. And they commissioned a YouGov poll of 1,001
That's
children.
That's very specific.
I know, very specific.
1,001.
I feel like I've seen that in research before, though, where for some reason the number is 1,001. I feel like I've seen it before. I don't know if it's a thing. But basically, it was 1,001 children aged 14 to 18 across Great Britain. So they were asked to imagine themselves age 30 and then answer a set of questions about what their life would be like at that age. I mean,
So this is what they think their life will be like.
Yeah, so it's not necessarily, this isn't saying what their future is definitely going to be like, but it's really interesting because this is some of their opinions about, at this moment, them being 14 to 17, when they think of their lives at age 30,
what that'll
how
be like.
Do they think that's going to pan out?
Okay, cool.
And some of the results were really, well, I mean, all the results were really interesting. Some of them quite negative. If we kind of give some of the headlines of the kind of at the start of the report. So 55% of children responding believe that their generation will not be as well off as their parents. And I think obviously that's reflected in the cost of living crisis at the moment. They are young people who are living through that. They've lived through like the pandemic as well, and how massive that was for them. But yeah, obviously there's the cost of living crisis.
Yeah.
Things are shooting up, being a lot more expensive. So that's their reality at the moment.
I wouldn't be surprised as well if they're not soaking up all the stuff that, you know, some of Gen Z, which are in their 20s, if they're not soaking up what some of Gen Z and millennials have been putting out into the world, especially on social media and that, about like, can't afford a house, but my parents did at 21 and like stuff like that. So I almost wonder if they're seeing the people who are like just above them generationally going, oh, well, if they can't, like.
That interestingly leads us into a stat, Beth, thank you very much, which was that 61% don't think they'll own their own home. And we've got a quote as well from a young person which says, it's hard to get enough money for a mortgage now, and bills are very high. My parents got their mortgage at 21. I don't think people my age will be able to do that.
I don't know any 21-year-olds.
No.
I know people who are like 23, but that was with a lot of help from relatives. That wasn't...
I'm 27. I don't own my own home yet. I would love to, hopefully soon.
Yeah, I'm in my 30s and I don't own my own home. Like, yeah.
So I think, yeah, that's just really apparent. And then another stat for you. Would you like another one, Beth?
Oh, yeah, let's go for it. Lovely. All of the stats.
So 19%, so almost one in five, don't think they'll have enough money to live comfortably when they're 30. Hit you with another quote. Everyone is struggling these days. Nobody has any money and bills are bad. My mom struggles to pay the bills and she's a nurse with a master's degree. I'm not that clever, so imagine my life will be harder than hers. We used to be able to go on holidays, but mum can't afford it anymore. Sad. Yeah. So that just
interesting.
Just shows you kind of where the kind of the thinking is when it comes to them looking at their future. Like it from that sounds quite bleak. I'm sure the report goes into further areas and kind of research and stuff does tend to look at kind of the trends, and some of those might be, you know, a bit more negative at the moment. This doesn't necessarily mean that is going to be their reality.
No,
this is their thoughts around it.
You hope it's going to be positive, don't you?
But absolutely.
And I think we can put this link for people on the webpage, yfc.co.uk/youth-updates, so you can read the whole article. It's also on Bernardo's website. So I think it's called Changing Childhoods.
Yes.
That, I think that's
Changing Childhoods, Changing Lives report.
Amazing. So you can find it on the Bernardo's website as well. But I think there's two things in that last stat that you kind of made me think of, which is firstly, when you said almost one in five think they're not going to have enough money to live comfortably, was a while ago we had Neil, who's sort of the big cheese of Youth for Christ, do a podcast. And he talked about the levels of poverty in the UK and how like it was meant to be like another 500,000 in the next little time period were meant to be moving into technically what poverty is. And so I think, well, when the rates of child poverty are increasing and so high, well, they're probably looking at that and going, well, it's probably not going to change. Because I imagine, you know, I imagine they're going to probably look at the lives around them and just wonder how you get out of it. And then the other thing as well was there's a lot of discourse at the moment around how, like, once upon a time it was almost a guarantee that if you did well at school and you went to uni and you got a degree that you'd get a good paying job, like a well-paying job, whereas it's feeling like that less and less. It doesn't feel like it's a guarantee to get a decent job just because you go to uni. And I think that's partially always been the case, because I think there are some people who are clever in non-academic ways, like, you know, a plumber, they make a mighty fine wage, but you don't need to go to university for it. But I think there was an assumption at one point that if you definitely wanted a well-paying job, that university would be the key. And I think that seems to be falling off.
I was definitely brought up with that narrative of you go to school, you do well in your A levels, you go to university, you get straight into the workplace, like that kind of thing. That reminds me, actually, there is another quote that from the piece of research. So it says everyone can go to university and get qualifications, because obviously we're speaking about how that has kind of opened up to more people. However, if you can't get a decent job afterwards, then it's totally meaningless. You can only try your best and pray for some good luck to come your way. However, you can't change this even if you wanted to. So just an element of like that opening up of the amount of people like going to uni and stuff like that. I mean, that is great. It's great for this to be opportunities. But they're also kind of adding into that there's an element of luck now, or there's an element of chance about it's not guaranteed that you're then going to have a decent paying job and, you know, enough money in the bank, really. So that's really interesting.
It is interesting.
It is. I feel like we always end things with, so that's interesting. But it is.
Yeah, read the report.
That piece of research is actually really good. We'll move on to a third topic. Why don't you tell us a little bit about our crafty young people, Beth?
Crafty young people. And we don't mean cunning, although we're sure some of them are very cunning and clever. We're talking about actual craft, in that there's an increase in people doing crafts and more traditional hobbies. Now, we're not talking about when you're like 6, 7 and you've got a jar of pom-poms and some glue and some cardboard, but as in terms of things like knitting, crocheting, quilting, sewing your own clothes, you know, doing embroidery on your jeans or your bag, making bracelets, making jewellery. And obviously, you know, I mean, this is partially an assumption, but it will be more teen girls than it will be guys. But just there's an increase in some of these hobbies again compared to some past decades. Mm-hmm. And there's been some different sort of conversations about why it might be that there has been an increase. Now, this isn't to say that everyone's doing it, but just comparatively more people are taking up these hobbies. And one of the things about this generation is that they spend a lot more time at home than, say, other generations of teenagers in the past did.
Like, we used to go and play out and about. Yeah, and go to the park all night.
And people still do that, but not to the extent that they did. Mm-hmm. So as people spend more time at home, and people think there's a bit of a knock-on effect even from lockdown, is that people are doing more of these at home hobbies and taking on these things. And some people think it could be a rejection of increasing screen time, because actually the younger generations, although screens are a huge part of their life, they don't want to be on them all the time. But also it's something that people can do when they multitask, in terms of you can binge watch something and also be doing this at the same time. And also, once upon a time when you had to learn these things by going to a class or a book or a relative, actually there's loads of platforms like YouTube and TikTok that tell you how to do these things. And increasingly things like Reels, there's stuff on Snapchat, there's stuff on TikTok where it'll just come up on your page. And if it's like, oh look, this girl's just customized her own jeans with embroidery and that looks amazing, I want to develop my own style and do that. Or going back to Taylor Swift, friendship bracelet making is a huge thing to do with her tour. And so I think there is this uptake of crafting and doing those things.
And I've seen people making their own like outfits for the Eras tour as well, because like and I also think it could be a bit of the like combating cost of living stuff as well, because sometimes you might be like, oh, I can't afford that thing, but I'll try and make it myself, kind of thing. So because some things can be like more expensive to make yourself, but some things can be like cheap. So like customizing like some old clothes, that's cheaper than having to buy something completely new. And it's a way of like, if you put in enough time and effort, then you can actually create something which, you know, might be more cheap than having to go and buy loads of new stuff. That's pretty cool. And obviously there's also the massive like using that also to make money, like people, that tends to be when as people get like a bit older, but some young people might be having a bit of a side hustle and making a bit of pocket money from it as well. But there was also, just to throw into the mix, a quote from Felt, which is an online crafting, buying and selling program, I guess maybe a bit like Etsy or other platforms are available. But they kind of said about Gen Z's use of its platform, they said their way of making and the materials that they use are often sustainable and considerate of the environment. So there's also throwing in the like sustainability part to this, of like not engaging in, like, especially the customization stuff, like not engaging in fast fashion and maybe like customizing stuff instead or using materials that are like sustainable. So there's also that to throw into the mix too.
There is indeed. Well, those were our three main topics, but we just wanted to add in a cheeky sort of half a one as point four, which obviously is a reminder that, you know, it is going into exam season for loads of young people. And so this is the season where we often see young people stop attending church as much as they start to prioritise revision. Maybe they still come on a Sunday morning, but the midweek groups drop off. And just kind of that thing, I guess, of an encouragement that it's not necessarily, if you run a youth group, anything you've done, but pray for them and provide those points and still provide those touch points, because we all know that exam season can be very stressful for a lot of people.
Absolutely. So let's move from exam stress into the most fun part of the podcast,
where
we let you know about our word of the month, and we have a nice little jingle, but we never organise what that jingle is going to sound like. We just see what comes out of our mouths.
Yes,
so
we do.
Shall we see?
Yes.
3, 2, 1, go.
Word,
word
of the month. Thank you.
I like that. That was cool.
Taylor Swift can hit me for an next album.
Lovely stuff. So our word of the month is, what's it called when it's short? Is it an acronym?
Abbreviation
kind of thing.
It's not.
Is it an acronym?
Yeah, an acronym. I said the wrong thing.
Where it's four letters that kind of stand for four words. So it's, you might see this more written than said.
Yeah.
But it's GRWM. Grum. All in capital letters. Grum. Most of the time. You'd more see it written than said. Yeah. People wouldn't be like, GRWM. That'd be so weird. But you'll more see it like attached to usually a video. And what it means is each of those letters stands for get ready with me. So it usually means you might see the words GRWM and then for the Eras Tour. Mm-hmm. And it might be like, that means get ready with me as I get ready to go to the Eras Tour, basically. So it'll usually be kind of like people getting ready. It might be people applying makeup. It might be people deciding on what they're going to wear. It's all of that kind of stuff, really. It's just kind of inviting people into your, like, kind of everyday. It's usually video-based and kind of just means watch along with me as I get ready for something.
Yeah. And there's a lot of girls, I've noticed, who do, like, a preschool get ready with me.
Really?
And I'm there going, honestly, and they have more products than I think.
Not as in like preschool, as in like before.
No.
As in like
before they go to school. Not like 4-year olds.
Yeah.
As in like before they go to secondary school. Yeah.
But they'll suddenly imagine.
But they'll be there, and like, and some of them are like, it's 8 a.m. I'm in such a rush. I've only got 10 minutes, and they're like rapidly putting all this stuff on their face and like curling their hair and like. Wow. Honestly, it's impressive what they manage to do in 10 minutes.
I think my get ready with me before school would be get up as late as humanly possible, shove some breakfast in my face, hope my uniform's clean.
Honestly,
and run to school.
Same.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Lovely. Exactly the same.
But that kind of wraps up our time together, doesn't it?
It does indeed. So that is it from us this time. Please do make sure that you follow us on Spotify, that you sign up to make sure that you get notified every time that we release one of these. We love having you along with us. Please do get in touch with us as well. If you would like to, with any suggestions for things that should go on the podcast,
we'd love to hear.
You can do that on our socials, which is British YFC, on most of our different social media platforms, such as Instagram, etc. But yeah, we'd love you to get in touch. And thank you for joining us. We hope you have found this helpful. Bye.
Bye.